You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 16 November. Overnight Russian missile fired into Poland. Biden says a mistake. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Adrian Saville, that EU third quarter GDP. We had the flash number earlier. It came in smack on what the flash number was at 0.2%. We're chatting Wayne McCurry, results from storage and transaction capital. And then Michelle Santangelo, independent securities, growth stocks finally trade at reasonable prices. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Ford forced to truck export vehicles to Durban Port. This is the rail siding at its Pretoria plant is not yet fully operational, and Transnet cannot say when it will be. Business day, no relief from load shedding as Eskom's diesel budget runs dry. They simply don't have the money, and they're saying, well, we don't have it, we can't run those open gas turbines. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.9%, NASDAQ up 1.5%. Asia is, Sydney's down a little and Tokyo down even less. We could essentially call that flat. Commodities overnight is mixed. Gold, 1,777. Brent, 93.61. Platinum, 1,023. Palladium, very strong, 2,090. Rand, 17.37. Bitcoin, 16,900. Tencent is down 1.6%. And top 40 opening call, 750 points to the red. That's 1.1% lower.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Dr. Adrian Saville, Genera Capital, of course, gives business school as well. Adrian, appreciate the early morning. EU GDP plus 0.2% quarter on quarter, 2.1% for the year-on-year increase. A small number, a weak number, but perhaps belying what's going to be coming over the next couple of quarters, thanks to energy inflation and interest rates.
Morning, Simon. Exactly. The numbers, as you said in the intro, exactly in line with expectations. So there's no surprise in it, which is always good when it comes to economic data. But the number is very weak, and it's showing the evidence of a very tired economy, which is just struggling to find drive, given, as you point out, the energy shock, and keeping in mind that the energy shock is just a catalyzer of inflation. That, you know, really the origins of inflation are far deeper. But you've got Europe broadly wrestling with double-digit inflation. And then keeping in mind, you know, Europe isn't a place. So you've got essentially a basket of very, very different economies that have widely diverse components. But if we put that basket together, it looks like Europe will go into 2023 in recession.
I take your point. I mean, you mentioned my sense around Europe, and it's probably not fair. Although again, you make the important point. This is many, many different nations, but the sense is it is an old, a tired, a slow economy, as opposed to, maybe I'm saying this with blinkers on. You know, we look across at the US perhaps and the high flying there. It does seem, you know, Germany is good old fashioned manufacturing.
Yeah, and there's another element to that which I think we also need to put into the basket, and that is large parts of Europe are what in economic language we would call outward oriented or export oriented. So they face the world. Mm. And given that the global circumstance is one of inflation is not specific or unique to Europe, inflation is global. Interest rates are hiking around the world, and it's the world economy that is stuttering, not just Europe. So there's a part of the European growth, or now, you know, recessionary experience, that's really just mirroring global economic circumstances. And then we can add in some specific components, and the most obvious, if you've got a broad basket of economies that are outward looking, you've got the supply chain chokes that have been really catalyzed by the COVID circumstance.
Yeah, I'd never thought of that phrase before, outward looking. I mean, that's an excellent way of describing it. And of course, the European Union as a collective is the second largest economy in the world. And that's the point you're making there. This is perhaps more than, it's certainly more than just Europe. I mean, then of course there's the UK. There's a global issue out there. We'll leave it there. Adrian Saville, Denario Capital, appreciate the early morning insights.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning time. We're in that time of the year when results are coming fairly thick and fast. A couple yesterday. Transaction Capital, the one that I was eagerly awaiting for. Kind of three parts to their business. The We Buy Cars, which is relatively new, doing incredibly well. They back into debt collection, doing very well. SA Taxi, the biggest part, weak. But that, I suspect, was probably on supply constraints, getting taxis out of the flooded Toyota plant in Durban. Your take on the numbers?
Look, the numbers were actually okay. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that the share price came down about 5%, I think that was a case of the shares didn't meet the market expectations in respect of the share rating, because, I mean, this share's got a very high price-earnings ratio, so the market was probably expecting better results than what actually came out. Mm-hmm. But certainly on this company, you buy on weakness.
Yeah, I mean, it's a management team which have absolutely proved themselves again and again. And, I mean, the We Buy Car numbers are frankly staggering.
Yes, they are. And as I said, you buy this one on weakness. It's actually a fantastic company, and it's proved itself to be resilient through thick and thin, quite frankly.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And 91 numbers out there, they're losing some assets under management, partly because of outflows. I mean, this is a market as a circumstance. This isn't, we don't look at management askew. We basically say this is a tough market to be an asset manager.
Yeah. Look, when you read their results, and they do say, the moment you see an asset manager saying long-term performance remains strong, what they're actually saying is short-term performance is poor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's very normal for an asset manager. No asset manager can win all the time, and 91 has proven itself to be one of the top asset managers in the world, possibly, certainly of the South African origin asset managers. They are of the top. So I actually really like 91, and if my view on the overall market is correct, be probably over the worst of the bear market. So therefore, I don't think it's a bad time to buy asset managers in total. I mean, they have, 91 has come off the worst. The share was down at about 38 Rand, 39 Rand, and it's now at 43. But this was a 60 Rand share, and this is not an expensive share at all. The price earnings ratio is almost single digit. I mean, it's just above 10. Mm-hmm. And you're getting almost a 7% dividend yield on it. So this is very similar to Transaction Capital. I think this is also one that you buy on weakness.
And there is some great value out there. And I'm interested in your point, because yes, I remember chatting with you, it was probably, I suppose, September-ish, when markets were flying upwards and everyone was like, yay, the bear is dead. And you were one of the lone voices on this show who said to me, no, not so sure. Well, we did. We went all the way back down again. You think maybe the bear is the worst is over. I mean, no one's going to call a bottom, but the worst is over is what you're saying.
I actually think so. I think that bear market rally was as we spoke about, a little bit too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the market did come back to essentially previous lows, maybe even a little bit lower. But inflation has peaked now. We're over the worst of that. When you look at the year-on-year percentage changes for food and oil in particular, you know, in, I don't know, April, May next year, the year-on-year percentage change is going to be heavily negative. I mean, strongly negative.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a recession worldwide, which is going to happen. It'll be mild and short-lived, but there will be a recession, quickly sorts out wage pressure. So inflation is going to plummet next year. Second half of next year, inflation is going to plummet. And we'll see interest rate cuts towards the end of next year, maybe in 2024. And the market will like that. So I think the worst is over.
Yeah, and I'm looking at our market. We are 500 points away from being green for the year. And it doesn't feel like it, but that's the stark reality.
Yes.
A quick last one, storage results out as well. Small little REIT. Nice defensive and decent numbers. I mean, we're seeing some good yields on some of these sort of smaller listed REITs.
Yes, I mean, storage is a very different business from the normal REIT. It's what I think is actually a long-term winning sector when you're going into self storage. The year and in the UK, they're buying up a lot of small businesses in both places. And I think this move to smaller houses and then storing all your stuff in a little locker and then never going to visit it again, I think this is actually a long-term trend. And storage has come down from about 15 Rand to the current 14 Rand. And it's not that expensive. Look, it's a lot more expensive than the traditional REIT. You know, the traditional REITs, you can buy at a yield of 13-14%. Yeah, this is an 8% one. But as I said, it's a very different business. And a lot of companies now use these storage units.
Yeah.
To store excess stock instead of building a big warehouse. You just go dump the stuff there for a month or two and then take it out again. And they've got, I think it's almost a 90% occupancy rate. This is actually a structural one that I like. And at these share prices, you know, I've been very positive this morning, I want to buy everything. But at these share prices, I would also buy storage. I mean, I know it's small. But yeah, I think it's a very good company in a very good sector.
Yeah,
in a nice niche sector.
And as you say, in a nice yield. Now, take your point. You store it and you never visit it again. I did that for about 8 years. I had stuff I paid every month, never went and visited it. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Canisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Michael Santangelo, Portfolio Manager, Independent Securities. We're talking growth stocks. Michael, appreciate the early morning. A note you put out, you made the really excellent line. I really enjoyed it. From growth abundance to growth scarcity. We've literally, I mean, as recently as almost this time last year, it was just go, go, go. You're now saying, hang on a second. We've actually completely switched that around.
Yeah, absolutely. Growth now is a scarce commodity at the moment, and I think that's also what's created so much opportunity now for quality growth shares. We've obviously seen valuations compress quite nicely, and a lot of those quality growth companies that are a lot more resilient than some of the growth companies that just shot the lights out during COVID just to fall back 80-90%. So there are nice opportunities at the moment.
And you've also made the point around structural growth versus perhaps momentum. And Zoom is example. You know, yes, we all Zoom now, but that really was a momentum story. And truthfully, I could Zoom, I could Teams, I could Google Meet, I mean, the list just goes on and on. And what you really want to focus on are those companies with structural growth.
Yeah, absolutely. The structural growth companies are where you're going to see a long-term tailwind supporting the growth of those companies. And momentum growth is typically very short-term. And if you get it wrong, you can get it very wrong. And there's a number of structural growth stories across the world. Just in medical devices, biotechnology, clean energy is very important now as well. So there's definitely a lot of structural tailwinds out there.
Some of the examples you had in your note, Adobe, which is, I've chatted around the stock before. I use their software, and I remember having to shell out vast amount of money to buy it as infrequently as possible. Now I just pay them every month. They've done that pivot to software as a service, and they've done it incredibly smoothly, and it is a strong, compelling business model.
Yeah, it's absolutely a wonderful company. It is one of the large caps that I do mention, but it still has got a really good growth trajectory to it. As you said, you use it, and anyone has an online business or in design, whether it's that designing videos or audio or visual effects, they're all going to be using Adobe's product just simply because they are. Probably one of the best in the whole world.
You mentioned it's a large cap. Would your preference be to sort of look perhaps more in the mid cap or even small cap? And of course, when we're talking US, small cap is relative. They're often fairly giant companies when you convert them back, in terms of their actual market cap. Or are you relatively agnostic in terms of size?
I think for the typical portfolio that we manage, we would have a combination of those. So we would be majority large caps, but we do find quite a few small and mid cap opportunities. And probably one of the examples might be Canada Goose. Canada Goose is the Canadian luxury apparel maker, and I think their market cap is under $2 billion at the moment. So in global standards, that is a relative small cap. That's a company that we really like. We know that it's growing really well globally. It's expanding further into Asia. And it's also the brand and the product is exceptionally well regarded. It was trading at quite a high valuation, but now at a forward price to earnings ratio of about 15 to next year, it's a very compelling story.
And the one sector, and you make the point, cybersecurity, which is recession-proof, in that recession or not, you need to keep your servers and everything else secure, absolutely. But of course, again, prices will go everywhere. And periods like this, the businesses which continue to generate profits and do well, and suddenly we're seeing some decent valuations in that sector.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with the cybersecurity sector, you have to be invested in the companies that have got the most technological superiority. Mm-hmm. Because the hackers and the nefarious people trying to steal money from companies are becoming smarter and smarter, and you want to be with the companies that are ahead of the curve. Maybe I can just give you an example. Sure. With an analogy with CrowdStrike. The typical cybersecurity firm would be an endpoint security firm where they would just monitor any incursions onto the network. Mm-hmm. But once someone's in the network, they can pretty much do what they want. Whereas CrowdStrike, once they monitor anyone trying to get into the network, but then also monitor everyone while they're inside the network as well.
Gotcha.
Definitely
yeah.
One to watch.
Yeah, and if nothing else, we're going to see more hacking attempts. We're going to see more networks. We're going to need more security. Michael Santangelo, Independent Securities Portfolio Manager. Appreciate the early morning. That's our show for today. That's our poll on LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you looking at some of these large cap, small cap, mid cap growth stocks in the US or the Canada Goose? It doesn't necessarily need to even be in the US. You can have your vote. You can have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Charles Savage from Purple Group, talking around those results. A lot of moving parts there, but the key point is that the clients are becoming more profitable, and a lot of those costs are one-offs and the like. But the question was, we asked if you hold Purple shares. Almost half of you said, yes, I'm in that camp. A fifth like it, but want to buy it lower down. And the rest was split between you've taken profits already. And some of you were saying, you know what, actually no small caps for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Eleanor and Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking tech stocks with Skulk Lowe.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.